Hi, everyone. Welcome to Oscar Wilde, a podcast about film, always counting down to next year's Oscars. I'm Nick Rohrkraut.
And I'm Sophia Simonello.
And today we'll be talking all about award season really ramping up. This past week, we had so many nominations and critics' prizes. Today, as of recording, we also had Golden Globe nominations. So we'll be forming our conversation around all of those, seeing how they align, how we think the rest of the season, what's going to happen, you know, what will we see? And I think to do that is one of our best guests we have on during award season, Bennett Prosser returning. The last time he was on was on our award season fantasy draft. So this is actually a perfect way to bring him back in and see how he's feeling. Hi, Bennett. How are you?
Hey, guys. I am honored to be here to present the NBR Spotlight Award for Creative Collaboration between Sophia Simonello and Nick Rohrkraut. For all your
holding space for us.
Holding space. I've seen it. You know. Yeah, who better has a creative collaboration than you two? I think there should be a write-in vote to the NBR. But hey, yeah, I'm very happy to be here. Gosh, I have not looked back much at what we drafted. Sometimes I get excited. I think our team, Sophia, I'm on your team for the fantasy draft, and we did pretty well with actresses, but I do not want to look at the actors. I want to say there's some split there.
It's one of the worst decisions of my year so far was wanting to take Kieran Culkin first and taking Samuel L. Jackson instead. So it's there. It's fine. It is what it is.
Yeah, I think I pushed for Blitz as well. So.
Oh, my God. We'll talk about that, right?
I'm excited for the full, like, exhale look back on that draft later. But yeah, I'm happy to be here. I'm excited that there's such a flurry of awards news happening almost too much all at once. But it's very nice and distracting. And I don't know. I'm happy to talk about it. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. Well, we're so glad that you're here. And how are you feeling about the movie year as a whole and just this award season in general?
Yeah. So I mentioned this coming in when you asked me to join, but I am definitely going to be more of an outside observer to a lot of the opinions of the movies this year. Just the way that the year has kind of gone for me, I am really behind on watching a lot of movies. And in some ways, I don't know if it's kind of nice that there is no clear front runner to the season. It sort of seems murky in general. So there are some ways where I feel okay with being a little behind on some stuff. And if I end up not seeing as much this year as I'd like, then I can be like, well, that's okay. Maybe I don't know if this was the best year. So maybe that timing just worked out. But I have enjoyed there being not as clear of a front runner at this point. I think even in years past, we at this time had, even if we didn't know literally who was going to win, we had a much clearer sense of what particularly the Best Picture frontrunner was. I think that there are a good number of films at this point that can make their case. So I guess in general, I am just waiting for Hard Truths to be released wide. And that is my, like, you know, North Star that I'm just driving my camel towards, or, you know, whatever that is. So I am just excited for that.
Well, it will not disappoint. Marion Jean-Baptiste is extraordinary in it. If you like Mike Leigh films too, which I know you do,
mm-hmm. Yep.
You're ready.
Ah, good.
So I think just to talk about award season, we'll talk about the big event of the day. We had the Golden Globe nominations, which are always a journey. So we have, in our tenure as a show, covered the Golden Globes in various forms, honestly, but they've grown and they aren't just this group of 90 people that have to live in Los Angeles anymore. They've expanded, become much more international. And I think the results do reflect that. When we're looking at the nominees today, there were some disappointing snubs. We will get into those. But I think we're just going to work our way down, basically from our best performing film of the morning to some of those disappointments that we saw. So Emilia Perez, the Cannes-winning film from Jacques Audiard, beat Cabaret's record. It's still behind Nashville, thank God, with 10 nominations. This was absolutely wild this morning. Picture, musical comedy, director, screenplay, supporting actress nominations for Selena Gomez and Zoe Saldana, Carla Sofia Gascon getting into actress. We had two original songs, score, and international feature. So that's a major haul for this film. And notably, just thinking of another award ceremony that we just had over the weekend, the European Film Awards. So the Golden Globes aren't industry awards, but the European Film Awards are. So they're voted on by an academy that does have some crossover with our academy. And the wins there, it won 5: film, director, screenplay, actress, and editing. Those exactly match Anatomy of a Fall's wins last year. So it's safe to say, I think, that this film is here to stay this season. What do you guys think about that? This film has really gone through it, and people love it. People despise it.
Starting with the stat that it beat Cabaret, I'm sorry, I imagine that is really putting salt in the wound for you.
It was a knife in the heart. Bob Fosse rolled over in his grave. It was a lot.
Yeah, here's one that I have not seen yet, and I have been putting it off. I remember going back to when we did our draft, when people were drafting things for the movie, I was sitting there silently shaking my head just based off of what I'd heard early on. And clearly I was wrong, that I imagine that team's getting a lot of draft points from this, but I am surprised that it ended up translating seemingly to I know it's not the industry, but at least to voters in the U.S. We saw it get blanked across the board by the critics groups over the past couple weeks. So I guess between critics and the Globes, if one group is going to go for Emilia Perez, it is pretty clear.
I agree with that assessment. It makes sense for the Golden Globes to go with Emilia Perez. And I think, it was one of those things always in the back of my head that when I saw the film back at Telluride, I thought, oh, yeah, this is actually going to hit with the industry. There's always that film every year. There are a few of them sometimes where I don't particularly care for them, but they're loud enough, boisterous enough, and they make people, I think, feel good or feel like they're watching something important. And Emilia Perez, to me, had that in spades. So I never expected it to go well with the critics just because of the vitriol towards it coming out of New York Film Festival and things like that. But I think it's here to stay, like I said.
Yeah, I think this ties in perfectly with my general thoughts of the race of, leading up to it in the past couple of months, trying to figure out where things were going. And really, I think for you and I, Sophia, like rooting for our favorites, thinking they could win everywhere, knowing that may not be the case, but not knowing what would take its place. And I think this kind of solidifies today and in the past week of what has been winning. We'll talk about some like Kieran Culkin showing up absolutely everywhere. This is sort of the case of we see Emilia Perez showing up across the board in some way, shape, or form. To me, I would say like critics-wise, I'm surprised supporting actress maybe hasn't gone to Zoe Saldana as much, which is something I am rooting for this movie. But I think 10 nominations is absolutely ridiculous, but it fits in the way that we have this mixed bag usually of what we like and don't like, and this is finally becoming apparent to us. And now it's like, okay, this feels like a normal race because now we have villains and things we're rooting for. And this actually isn't a case for me where I hate the movie. It's just a case where I'm like, should this be winning international film above the line, below the line? I don't think so. But it very much could with a number like this.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see where it can win, how it shakes out. I think there are actually quite a few categories where this is win competitive, which is fascinating. So let's talk about one of our films that we both love, The Brutalist. That got 7 nominations at the Golden Globes today, and I think really maxed out with nominations. It hit everywhere it needed to, everywhere it could, and it got the same haul as RIP, The Power of the Dog. So I, of course, have to make that comparison here. Just tempting the fates, preparing myself to potentially be disappointed. But this film has had a pretty strong showing with the critics. It won Best Film with the New York Film Critics Circle, and Adrian Brody won Best Actor there. And then it scored Best Production Design with the LA Film Critics Association and was runner-up for Best Film. So great with the critics, I think, as we expected. And this was impressive today because I think I wondered what a film like this could do. It is very long. I personally don't feel it, but Brady Corbet, just learned that it's pronounced Corbet, not Corbett, like I've been saying for years now. His films are, I will say, unique. I think when we think of Vox Lux in particular, this is not Vox Lux, but it does take some chances and make some statements, I think, especially in the film's second act. And seeing that they nominated Felicity Jones, who doesn't appear until Act Two, actually shows us that they watched the whole film and they liked the whole film.
Which is exciting because I don't think I would have expected 7 nominations from the Golden Globes. Maybe from a different body, maybe from the Oscars. Again, hope dictating that. But this is kind of surprising, but in a good way. And I think this to me is, I'm kind of like on rocky ground trying to figure out what they're doing this year. And we have a couple other surprise nominations that really threw me off guard. So I don't really know where they're going, but there are some other movies we'll talk about before we can maybe ask each other like who we think could be winning the awards in the end. Bennett, do you have any thoughts about The Brutalist?
Another one that I'm looking forward to its wide release, but I think it is impressive that it hit so well with the Globes voters. It feels from the outside like a kind of intimidating, just large thing that I don't picture that group going for a difficult, artier project. Or I know you're saying that, but it's not a difficult sit, and that's kind of the beauty of it, that it actually is immersive and you don't notice the length and all of that. But I guess from the outside, it seems like it's just outside of their wheelhouse. So I don't know. I think 7 nominations is definitely a good sign. The Power of the Dog comparisons are also unfortunate.
Yeah.
But hey, I mean, it's great. Good for them. I don't know.
Yeah. What I'll say in its favor, though, that the Power of the Dog didn't have is that The Brutalist has a very, very timely topic. Or quite a few, actually, at the center that make it feel like a movie of its moment, for sure.
Looking at The Power of the Dog at the Golden Globe specifically, it won Picture Drama, Supporting Actor, and Director, which I think are possibilities.
I think we flip the actor, though.
I was going to say, actor, maybe Adrian Brody has a better chance than Guy Pearce, but those do align. Do you think it could win here? I will just say in picture for now.
I think so. I think it has a pretty strong chance, actually, to win motion picture drama.
So, yeah, the other nominees are Conclave, Dune Part 2, A Complete Unknown, Nickel Boys, and September 5. Getting into Conclave, which is our next nominee here with 6 nominations total, I think Conclave is the one that I'm looking for at the Golden Globes to upset and potentially win. So that's where my question comes from, is do you think The Brutalist could win over something like Conclave that I think has support in different areas of voting bodies that maybe we would agree with, or I will say that I agree with so far?
Well, the thing about Conclave is it has pretty much the exact same nominations, save one acting category. So we oddly, didn't see Tucci get in, or we didn't have any surprises with any of those other Cardinals. We just had Ralph Fiennes and Isabella Rossellini. I actually think this race for picture drama is between The Brutalist and Conclave. Those are definitely the two for me, and I could see it going either way, for sure. I actually have started to think of Conclave as either a film that wins Best Picture, it has broad support, it feels like this kind of middle-brow film that did pretty well at the box office. People really liked it. It won some audience awards at regional festivals. It kind of feels like Belfast to me sometimes, not to put everything in the same year, but it's one of those where, you know, it has a few craft nominations here and there. It also has support with the actors. But then at the end of the day, maybe it just takes home one award. That's very possible. But I also could see it switching and Conclave being that winner. So I think it's really up in the air. I could see either winning.
I'll also throw in the 2022 Best Motion Picture Drama at the Globes as a comparison, particularly, I guess, throwing in another one of your darlings, Sophia. That was when The Fablemans beat Tar, among others.
Oh, my. That
if The Brutalist is Tar, which it is to you, I know that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, to an extent. Yeah.
Towering performance at the center of it. Of a struggling artist, I'll say.
Yes. European, but also American. Yeah.
Yep.
Where is The Fablemans then The Conclave? I know I'm not going to compare those directors, but is that more of a middle ground crowd pleaser situation?
Yeah.
Could go that way.
The bottom line is most of my favorite films lose.
Yeah.
So if anyone listening tends to agree with my taste, just prepare for disappointment.
I was going to say, you need to have worse taste and then you'll be happier.
That's fair.
So with Conclave, nomination-wise, we found it in picture, director, lead actor for Fiennes, supporting actress for Isabella Rossellini. She did get in. Screenplay and original score. So how are we feeling about Rossellini now? Do we think, because I think this whole season two, we've been like, who's getting in like number four and five spots? Do we think she's on her way to an Oscar nomination now?
I do. I feel good about it. Like, she's enough of a star that the Globes might want her there. But I think let's bring up The Fablemans again. If we're concerned about, you know, impact or screen time, we just had Judd Hirsch nominated for The Fablemans a couple of years ago. And that feels like a similar situation where we're going to throw her in with, you know, a Best Picture contender that has a lot of other nominations going. And I think that a lot of people left that movie thinking about her and talking about her.
And talking about Belfast, Judy Dench.
Very good.
Perfect gig.
Exactly.
The one thing I will say about Rossellini, though, I also think she's getting a nomination. She is wonderful. The woman is a delight. And I feel like regardless of how her role might feel thankless, I think when you're watching the movie, when I was watching it the first time, I thought, when is she going to speak? Like, when is this character going to have a line? But you do come away from the film thinking about her funny moments, like when she unlocks her computer for Ralph Fiennes, or when she does her little curtsy. She confronts the Cardinals. She has some good moments that I think people will respond to. And I also think that if the movie is win competitive, like if Conclave is at the end of the day our Best Picture frontrunner, if that's how the season shapes up, watch out for her to win, surprisingly, a la Juliette Binoche in The English Patient, Judi Dench, Shakespeare in Love, one of those surprising or unsurprising supporting actress wins that comes along with a picture win.
It's not the shortest performance ever, but she's not even in the movie for 8 minutes. I mean, it's kind of crazy, but I totally agree with that if, you know, the movie starts showing up and winning certain awards, be it Golden Globes or otherwise, I definitely think she can get in. The question we can also talk about Wicked is, you know, will it doing so well so far sustain itself until nomination voting happens for the Oscars? Can Ariana Grande get in and or win like some people are saying? Or is it Zoe Saldana, who, again, I have in there as well in the top two? So I think there's room. And I think Felicity Jones should also be in the conversation there. Our other Golden Globe nominees were Selena Gomez, like you mentioned, and Margaret Qualley, which we'll talk about in a second as well for The Substance. So it's a good group, I would say, of actresses that I wasn't necessarily thinking it would be that six showing up.
Yeah. Well, I think let's talk about The Substance because I love the Qualley nomination. I think that's great. That was one that made me really excited this morning. That film, we also saw it get in picture, director for Coralie Farjah, screenplay, and of course, actress for Demi Moore. I'm loving that this movie's showing up places. I feel like it's really exciting that they're going for a genre film and a movie that also made quite a bit of money. So I think supporting actress will be a fun category to unpack and watch this season, really, because I think it could. We're at the point where, because there hasn't been consensus with critics groups and we haven't moved into industry voting yet, it still feels up in the air.
Yeah, I think Margaret Qualley getting in is really fun. I didn't realize she was campaigning as supporting.
They're co-leads, I feel.
Certainly.
I believe they're co-leads, yes.
I agree.
That will, there's category fraud it's everywhere this season.
This year,
it's so bad.
But I get the thought of getting out of the way for Demi and really making it Demi's moment. But Margaret Qualley getting in is, but I think that's fun. I think it's exciting. In that category rundown that you just did, Nick, the most notable name missing is Danielle Deadwyler for The Piano Lesson. That seems to be that and another, you know, very sad miss that we can talk about are really like two of the bigger snubs or at least kind of like upsetting omissions from the list that I don't know if I would take Margaret Qualley in for that as that replacement over Danielle, but I don't know. I do think it's fun. I think, and it's very Globesy. Mm-hmm. That role, it became a meme.
Yeah.
And so that's pretty easy. But like also looking at the people who are going to be at the Globes this year, Selena Gomez, Margaret Qualley, Ariana Grande, Miley Cyrus, Zendaya.
Miley getting in for original song. When I saw that, I was like, oh, they are star packing it again.
I have a lot to say about that. We'll get there. But there's such a, like, I know that they're not all Gen Z, but there is such a, like, internet girly contingent at the Globes this year that I feel like Margaret Qualley just kind of hopped onto. But I'm very happy that she's there, regardless.
Include Timothée Chalamet in that, too,
there
honestly.
You go. Gabriel LaBelle.
Oh, yeah. I think, you know, this is a big showing for this movie that I wasn't expecting. I'm happy about it as well. You know, we also got two female directors in there, Coralie Farjah being one and Payal Kapadia for All We Imagine as Light being the other. That was like the big shock to the day, I would say, one of. But I think this is a really great turnout. And this like really spotlighted for me today that, you know, people really loved seeing Demi Moore get in. I think she could win. And I, you know, thinking back to our episode when people were asking, oh, like, how could this do? And we were like, its ceiling is makeup and hairstyling, which we don't have that category yet. But I'm like, I think Demi Moore could win the Oscar this year. That's how serious it has become.
Wow.
And I think I might put her in my number one spot because it's just not feeling like anything yet. And I know all of this just started and hopefully Angelina could win somewhere or multiple critics prizes and or potentially here. I just don't see Mikey Madison like winning all of these awards because she's so new to, I would say, voting bodies, maybe not to us. She's gotten tons of press with Neon, which is great. And I love Anora. We still have yet to talk about that movie for today. But I'm feeling so much more support, like for the Jamie Lee Curtises out there, that, and Michelle Yeoh, you know, these actresses who have been around for years and years and years, and this is their second time to shine in the later part of their life. And they're just so happy to be there. And they have incredible performances, too. So I think this is huge for Demi Moore. And I was not expecting this 5 months ago.
Yeah, it's funny because the more and more that I've thought about the substance and how it's come up in conversations, again, seeing that it's made money, thinking back to its screenplay when it can and those European Film Award nominations, its critics' appearances, I started to think, oh, you know, yes, there's horror bias or whatever you want to call it, looking back at Oscar history. But this film could be one of those to break that, really, and to get maybe more than just a makeup and hairstyling nomination. And I love that, Nick, that you think Demi Moore could win, because anything this year is possible. I think we can talk about Anora in a second, but maybe we just talk about actress here for a second. Demi Moore's category is definitely the most competitive. So this is musical or comedy actress. So we have Amy Adams for Night Bitch, Cynthia Erivo for Wicked, Carla Sofia Gascón for Emilia Perez, Mikey Madison for Anora, Demi Moore for The Substance, and Zendaya for Challengers. It's stacked, and the more and more I look at it, I can envision four of them possibly winning, which is fun.
Amy Adams is one of those four, right?
She sure is. She's number one.
Number one?
Remember, she
no,
won
you
this,
know I'm kidding.
She won this category for Big Eyes back in 2014.
Oh, wow.
She sure
did. So you never know.
You never know with them, really. But in all honesty, I think we were thinking about maybe a couple weeks ago, Mikey Madison just walking away with this one for Anora. She's the breakout star of the year. And even though for me, she broke out much earlier, I think we can generally call her a breakout for this season. But then Wicked really hit. And Cynthia Erivo's here, and that makes a lot of sense. Emilia Perez overperforming. Carla Sofia Gascón winning for that movie also makes sense. And then Nick, like you were saying, Demi Moore, I can see that happening here too. And if she's going to win the Oscar, she has to win in this category. I think that would make a lot of sense if we saw her win here. I think she would give a great speech. And then if the film has the passion, there you go. I like it.
I am already envisioning another Denis Villeneuve snub come Oscar nomination morning and potentially Coralie Farjah getting in. You know, I think that's a world that could be in a month. Very much so.
We'll talk about Dune Part 2 in a second.
Yeah, that too. So much. I think the big thing with me putting Demi in number one, apparently this is what I'm doing now, the big asterisk to that is that Marion Jean-Baptiste was snubbed. She did not show up. Whether that was supposed to be for comedy musical or drama, she was not nominated for actress. And I think she is a really strong nominee because she's won so many big prizes, especially New York and LA. And then she also won BIFA, the British Independent Film Awards. So she's getting the love. And Bennett, yeah, I think you will love this movie, especially her performance. Probably rooting for her too to win. I think she is a really strong contender. Our lead actress in a drama nominees were Angelina Jolie for Maria, Nicole Kidman for Baby Girl, Fernanda Torres for I'm Still Here, Pamela Anderson for The Last Showgirl, Tilda Swinton in The Room Next Door, and Kate Winslet in Lee. That was a surprise this morning, definitely. And I think Tilda Swinton was a little bit for me too. Fernanda Torres being a really good surprise because that movie is incredible. International feature again is being really spearheaded by Emilia Perez. So seeing how things compete with that in that category. But I think our list here is pretty strong as well. Is Kate Winslet just happy to be nominated? What do we think about maybe who could win here or just your general thoughts?
It's so strange that the drama acting category feels like, other than a couple people, it feels like the B team. Not to be rude, but it feels like the 6 through 10 in a lot of cases, which is really interesting because I feel like that's usually where we find the filler space in the comedy category. So that's kind of throwing me baseline. I have not seen any of these movies, so again, like, can't speak to their quality, but it does seem like it will be between Angelina Jolie and Nicole Kidman. But I love that Fernanda Torres got in. I know a lot of people are stumping for her with that movie. Pam Anderson getting in feels like a similar vein and a similar kind of story that she has this year as Demi Moore. She's carrying her movie really by herself, other than the song, apparently. But she is the real kind of like point of people talking about that movie. I'm happy for her, and I'm happy that happened. And Kate Winslet, my understanding is that there are a lot of screenings of Lee that are being held for just like, not just like courting the Globes voters, but there are people showing up for Lee screenings, the way that they, you know, like Frances Fisher is probably coordinating Lee screenings. It's
she's at the scene of the crime.
Yes.
There's a photo of her with Kate Winslet and Leonardo DiCaprio. It's a Titanic reunion at a Lee screening.
At a Lee screening, there you go.
Oh my God.
So
today Kate Winslet got her 13th and 14th Golden Globe nominations. So she is clearly loved by this organization. She was also nominated on the TV side for The Regime, which is an unwatchable show.
Oh.
At least in my opinion. I wasn't too surprised, honestly, about her showing up here. It feels kind of like something the Globes would do. They clearly really like her. She's campaigning. She's also a really good actor, so It kind of makes sense. But I will say what's odd is that Tilda Swinton, whose performance I love in The Room Next Door. I know, Nick, you and I are split on that. I really loved that movie. But Tilda Swinton and Fernando Torres both being with Sony Pictures Classics, both getting in, but Saoirse Ronan not getting in for The Outrun. And I think if she doesn't get in here for drama, I think a lot of people are counting on her to take one of those spots in actress in a really competitive year. And it's a really good performance, too. But it is just so competitive this year. But Bennett, I agree with you. I do think this is a race between Angelina Jolie and Nicole Kidman, who also, I would say, the two of them give my favorite performances in this category. I would give the slight edge to Nicole, though, after seeing Baby Girl.
I'm so excited for that movie.
We see the trailer.
Yeah. It's so fun. She's pretty amazing in it, I think.
And then our last big movie that we haven't mentioned yet is Anora, also getting 5 nominations here. Picture, director, screenplay, actress for Mikey Madison, and supporting actor for Yura Borisov. This is a great haul, and I think these all could translate to the Oscar, definitely, with the support the movie has had so far. Do we think that's likely? What do you think, Sophia?
I think Anora has been pretty strong all year so far, really since winning the Palme d'Or and since being a really popular screening at film festivals. I know people personally, like in my everyday life, who did not like Anora, but that's pretty much where I would say the dislike for it really ends, I would say. I think that's not really something I've seen with critics or really anywhere else so far. Mikey is really strong. She won lead performance at LA Film Critics. She has been popping up across critics groups with breakthrough wins and nominations, and the film just won best film at the LA Film Critics Association. So I think that makes a lot of sense, but I think the film is really strong, and I actually think all 5 of those nominations will translate to Oscar nominations. The one that makes me so happy is Yura Borisov. I really love him. I loved him in Compartment Number 6. I loved him in Anora, and I feel like that's such a subtle, true supporting performance too. So it's exciting to see that that's not just a hope diction on people's lists. Like, it actually is coming through.
I'm also happy about this. I'm curious how the Oscar supporting actor category is going to shake out, because I think he is in that 5th spot. We had a lot of snubs today that I don't think will translate over, but like that includes, you know, Clarence Macklin for Sing Sing here, which opened up a spot potentially for him in that way. No Danielle Deadwyler, like you said, but also no Paul Mescal for Gladiator 2, which maybe we can talk about.
Gladiator 2 really flopped.
Thank God.
With the Golden Globes.
Right.
And I don't really think it's going to show up in a big way come Oscar time. I think that when you see September 5 getting into drama with a lone nomination and not Gladiator 2, I think that sends a bit of a warning sign, even though there isn't any industry crossover. I think it can still show up in some guilds and even craft nominations at the Oscars. We saw what happened with Napoleon, but every year is also different.
That truly is my Napoleon. I was thinking about that earlier today, too. I'm like, I think it's still showing up, even though it's not showing up today. I think it will have maybe a couple or a few nominations. I'm not saying that's a snub today either. I'm not necessarily surprised it didn't show up, but I think that's just a good tie-in for maybe having expected other things to have shown up. Like with Sing Sing, we only had Coleman Domingo, no screenplay, no picture. So it makes me a little bit more weary, I think, but I think there will be more support through A24. Maybe they change things up after this over the next couple of weeks, but they did do really well at the Gotham Awards and the Indie Spirit nominations. So I do think there is still some hope.
Re-releasing Sing Sing in January, which will be great because it never came to me. It did not play in the second largest city in my state, which is deranged. So I'm hoping that this release is wider when they put it out in January and can come to me. But especially after it had a good week with the like the Gothams and Clarence Macklin showed up in some of the Critics Awards as well, that it is a little disappointing, again, from the outside that it didn't show up more today. But it's also not a Globesy movie. Doesn't seem like that. So you can still hope that the industry will have some more love for it.
I think A24 can campaign two films also. We've seen them do that in the past. We saw The Year of Everything Everywhere All at Once and The Whale, what they did that year. So it's not out of the question for them to have two movies, two strong movies in the race. And Sing Sing, I think what's interesting really is just that when I went to the Gotham Awards and they went up on stage, that cast, to accept the social justice tribute, there was a standing ovation in the room. It reminded me of Coda. People were really excited to celebrate that movie. And that's a mix of press and industry that are there. But if you look at Sing Sing on paper and if you watch that movie, it makes sense as a Best Picture winner. Just looking at what the film is, what it's saying, the performances. But they've had such an up and down campaign and release strategy. So I think if they can get it back in front of people, they can turn it around. It's still early. And I think that will be a big hit with SAG. I could still see it winning SAG Ensemble, truthfully.
Looking at how it did in other bodies too, with the AFI and NBR top 10 lists, it did show up on both of those. So I think there is potential for it to show up more.
Definitely. And
I hope so.
Nick, let's get into your big snub.
Which one?
Maybe it's not your big snub. Maybe I'm just saying that because I know how you feel about Denis Villeneuve, but Dune Part 2, weird day for that movie.
Mm-hmm.
I will say they did not submit the movie, I heard, for the fake Cinematic Achievement Award.
Oh, really?
So I did see that on Twitter from a member that they actually couldn't vote for Dune Part 2. So if that adds a little context
there.
That's
so weird.
I know. But he didn't get into director, which I felt like was, I don't know, it just made sense for him to get in here.
Yeah, I don't think this is the death knell yet, but it's not great. Like I said, I'm glad there were other directors, maybe younger ones or newer ones that did get in that may have a harder chance at the Oscar, like Payal Kapadia, an international movie. You know, it's good to see all of that happening here at least, but it is sad that Dune Part 2 only got picture and score. And score, again, was not one that I really needed to see it at. And I think it is still disqualified for the Oscar.
Yeah.
Correct.
It's disqualified officially.
So also seeing that here, I'm like, oh, okay, thank you, I guess. Like Hans Zimmer's response to it was also just like, okay, we need to just put this to bed. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it is sad that he's not showing up and potentially getting snubbed again next month. I still think it has a lot of craft categories and guilds that it will show up with, you know, sound, visual effects, costumes, potentially makeup and hair again, you know, all of these repeating from the first movie. So I'm not necessarily worried, but this is one that since Dune, we were saying, oh, it's going to happen. You know, they're going to do it next time because the movie is going to be a bigger thing. And that's potentially not happening again.
I know. And I like Dune Part 2 more than the first part. Mm-hmm. I actually feel like this is, for me at least, a stronger directorial achievement. Maybe it's because Lea Seydoux and Austin Butler are in it, but
where did the Austin Butler conversation go? It existed
yeah.
for April, and half of May, and then no one, it just completely left the building.
Yeah.
Which
he should be here.
Is very upsetting.
We should still be talking about that performance.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I'll also say I've mentioned that I have not seen that many movies this year yet. So Dune 2 is at or near the top of my list for the movie year so far. So I am also, like, this is, as much as this is Nick's snub, I will take this snub as well, this isolated one. I don't ride for Villeneuve in general, but this one, yeah, that stinks. And I hope people figure it out, turn it around.
Yeah, I do. Thinking about it, I mean, I think it's bad that he didn't get in here. Like, it is concerning, but I also do think he can get in at DGA. Mm-hmm. Like, if a group is going to nominate him, I do think it can happen there. So, yeah, Nick, I'm a little more wary than you, but mm-hmm. anything can happen. Director feels weird. He also, I mean, the crazy thing with him is that, like, he's one of our returning nominees. The rest of our directors would be first-timers, which would also be a really interesting race. So, yeah, I don't know. But also, Bennett, I have to recommend All We Imagine as Light to you mm-hmm. because I was so excited for the Payal Kapadia nomination today, and I feel like you will really love that movie.
Yes, I am also looking forward to that, and very excited that she got nominated, and honestly that Coralie Farshad got nominated. I think what I would want most out of that movie is a directing nomination, personally. So that is nice. But yeah, really excited for All We Imagine as Light as well.
The other director snub was Ramel Ross for Nickel Boys. So I'm curious about how you feel about that and that movie, Sophia. I mean, director at the Globes, I was maybe expecting John M. Chu, especially after the recent conversation about Wicked. But I really wanted Ramel Ross to be here, and I was kind of upset that he wasn't.
Yes, I agree with you on that front, but also with Ramel Ross. This was my big snub of the day, and not that I expected this group to go for him necessarily, but for me, Nickel Boys is the directorial achievement of the year, and he's who I would personally vote for in Best Director. That movie is one of a kind. I've never seen anything like it, and I do think when it comes to the industry, we're going to see support in the director's branch for that movie and for Ramel Ross. So I haven't given up hope, but to see Nickel Boys only show up in film was really disappointing because that film is just such an achievement. Performance-wise, you know, Anjanue Ellis-Taylor, I think, is amazing in this movie. Screenplay, it's such a feat of adaptation. So, yeah, I'm not going to count it out yet. It's just the Globes, but I would have liked to have seen him here.
So we've kind of hit most of the categories today and the big nominees. Do you guys have any other, like, favorite nominations you saw, like Rogue Ones or big wins so far at certain critics' prizes that you're excited for or hoping that they can translate?
I texted both of you about how happy I was about Carol Kane winning yes. New York Supporting Actress and getting nominated for the Indie Spirits. She's so good in that movie, Between the Temples. It is a co-lead, again, another fraud scenario, but it's such a, like, small New York movie that I never thought that anyone would ever talk about her performance, so that made me very happy.
For me, I would say it's really all the mentions of Janet Planet at the Indie Spirit Awards.
Oh my God.
So seeing that movie get into cinematography, too, just... that's like the beauty of the Independent Spirit Awards. Just these exciting nominations for movies that are never going to get love anywhere else. Maybe with a critics group. Janet Planet was also successful at the New York Film Critics Circle, where Annie Baker won Best First Film. But I just, like, I love that movie so much. It's such a delight.
I think for me, my favorite Rogue nomination came at the Spirits as well. And this was putting Night Bitch in editing. Loved, because I think also the editing has a really important role in that movie and in what maybe triggers what the Amy Adams character feels inside of her. So I think that plays really, really well and really hits on the comedy. So I do love that she showed up in actress for it. I'm curious because we had like Nosferatu winning cinematography with NBR, and that was not here today. So I'm curious how that will translate, and I think it still will and can in crafts like costume or potentially cinematography.
Lily Rose Depp would have been an incredible lead actress in a drama nomination. I would have been all for it.
I'm very excited for that movie. I think the one most like it that we have seen show up in ways is The Girl with the Needle, which was in the International 5 at NBR as well, but also had a nomination here in non-English film. So highly recommend it. I mean, it's very visceral and disheartening, but it's based on this true story from the 1920s. It's incredibly well shot. So little things like that I loved seeing along the way. And like with documentary, No Other Land is winning multiple prizes. So I'm really hoping that shows up in the Oscar documentary talk as well.
It should win the Oscar and should also be nominated for Best Picture. They won't nominate it for Best Picture.
Absolutely not.
They might, you know, there's a lot that can happen with documentary too. But No Other Land is one of those films that I saw it in theaters. And when the film ended, I got up after the credits, which I normally, when I'm seeing a film, you know, at a public screening, I will get up mid-credits and leave. But I waited till the end because I couldn't move. Mm-hmm. And no one else in the theater had left. It was like no one could move. Everyone was just stunned. Mm. It had a similar feeling to The Zone of Interest when I saw that. Just this kind of stunned silence.
Yeah. Wow. It's a hard watch, but it's a good one for that too. Just doing a 180 really quick. I was really happy to see Glenn Powell in actor comedy musical. That's
what
my last appearance. But I think he has a really good chance of winning, and that could potentially show up in our actor category as well. If that fifth spot, I know Daniel Craig showed up today, but if that doesn't happen, maybe Glenn actually has a shot if he wins there.
I would love it. I also love that nomination. And sorry, I'm just still recovering from the the whiplash of No Other Land to Glenn Powell and
that reminds
Hitman.
Me.
But yeah, I also loved the I Saw the TV Glow mentions at the Spirit Awards too. So we actually, I think people were really ragging on 2024 as a movie year early in the year, but it's shaping up to be a really good one. I really like quite a few of these films this year.
You know, the more we talk about it, the more FOMO I'm feeling. I had convinced myself that it was okay that this year's sort of a wash, but my watch list is going to be so massive coming out of this year.
Yeah.
So I'll play catch up.
I mean, there's something for everyone, and you know, maybe there aren't a ton in all of those categories, but I think that's what is good about this year, is that if you didn't like Emilia Perez, you have All We Imagine as Light, or if you don't want to sit through The Brutalist, you can watch Conclave. It's like there's one for another in many ways through these six bodies that we've talked about today. So yeah, keep searching if you're not liking something. I think it's time that we get into some listener questions. So let's start off with Connor, who asked, does a lack of Golden Globe noms mean no hope for an Oscar nomination? So we kind of talked about this with multiple categories, acting, director, even picture in some cases. What do you think, Bennett?
No, definitely not. I think that getting a Globe is a good boost in visibility and gets people talking about you. But I think often missing a Globe also throws you into a little more conversation. I think with director, that usually has pretty significant turnover between the Globes and Oscars. And then acting, at least statistically, usually there are one or two of the supporting categories, or one or two slots in the supporting categories, that will be different between the Globes and the Oscars. But with the leads, because there's two Globe categories for each Oscar category, you know, you have musical or comedy and drama, so that means you have twice as many nominations at the Globes. So typically, at least recently, with the kind of expansion of those, that is a lot harder to break into if you miss a Globe nom in the lead categories. It's harder to get because that list is just so long.
We also got a question from Bouncing 1991. What's your favorite acting category overall? Nick, we didn't talk about Jesse Plemons getting in for Kinds of Kindness, our favorite film of the year.
I chose not to bring it up.
You're just shaking your head and have no response.
Well, I wrote down, it's like we have all of these movies that have one lone acting nomination, The Room Next Door, Lee, Saturday Night, Kinds of Kindness, Hitman. And it's like, are they all hanging on by this one thread? For some of them, kind of. I mean, I feel like they went pretty can heavy, the Golden Globes. You know, we have The Substance showing up, Emilia Perez, all of those award winners, including Jesse Plemons showing up here. That wasn't a Lanthimos movie I loved. But I think I have to go with, and this is pretty on brand for us, comedy musical actress, surprisingly. You know, getting Cynthia Erivo, we talked about that on our Wicked episode recently, Mikey Madison. We both loved Anora. I still love it so much. And even getting Amy Adams in there. We have Amy on our draft. So I'm happy she's still hanging on.
For me, it's the same. It's also actress in a musical or comedy. I love these nominees and genuinely like all these performances. I don't like Emilia Perez, but I like Carla Sofia Gascon's performance.
And I'll say actress in a drama, but like I mentioned, I haven't seen any of these yet, but I really like that it's, like I mentioned, kind of the like second tier of contenders in the drama category. I really like that that is just how it worked out. There are unfortunately a couple of front runners from the main list in there, so it like we kind of know they'll duke it out, but like I would love to see what would happen with the rest of them or what the vote splitting or the rankings would be between the other four to see where they fall and I'm glad they're getting recognized where they might not otherwise in the season.
You know what I love about this category? Our average age.
Oh,
the youngest actress here is 49. Angelina Jolie and Kate Winslet are both 49.
Wow,
that's
wow.
Great. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Our next two questions are all about Hugh Grant and the movie Heretic. So the futurist asked, what possibly induced the nominating panel to select Hugh Grant for best actor in a comedy musical for Heretic? And then Morgan asked, Hugh Grant for Heretic in comedy, which scene made you laugh the most?
This maybe of all of the Golden Globe nominations felt the most like a classic Golden Globes nomination.
Mm-hmm.
Big star, nominated before, who people really like, who's been doing a lot of press, is nominated in a lead acting category for a movie that is not a comedy or musical. I mean, it's a horror movie. There are some comedic elements to it, but it's not a comedy. So I really think it's star power, really, and campaigning. But the scene that made me laugh is when Hugh Grant is talking about and connecting Radiohead to Lana Del Rey. I did not know I needed that.
Yep. That was mine. I'm like, what? Who is this man who's read every Bible and he listens to Lana Del Rey, too?
Our next question comes from Rob Montoya. Kieran Culkin so far is this year's sweeper. Will he continue the streak all the way to Oscar a la Randolph, even though many think he should be in lead? It's me. I'm many. He should be in lead. This is a co-lead. A Real Pain starts and ends on Kieran Culkin's character. He is the real pain in many ways. He's the real pain to me watching this movie. I actually think there would have been a really great opportunity for Actors on Actors this year between Kieran Culkin and Marion Jean-Baptiste, because I think that their characters both respond to the hardships of life similarly, but they choose to portray them in very different ways. So I actually think that could have been very thoughtful and interesting, but that didn't happen. That's okay. I think their characters actually do have some interesting commonalities that would have been really cool to explore. But yeah, I think he's gonna get the Oscar.
Yeah, once even the first two came in and maybe some regionals, I was like, oh, it's happening. Despite what we said and what we heard, that it was category fraud at its worst, And then he kept winning and kept winning. I'm like, okay, it's over. So yeah, I think he's winning too.
And I don't think that there's a very clear competitor at this point. I think there was talk that it was Denzel when we were leading up to Gladiator coming out. But I think the general failure of that movie in general hurts Denzel, whereas a real pain is in the conversation for a number of things outside of Culkin, that it has Best Picture heat. It definitely has screenplay. Jesse Eisenberg is up there for actor, that it's not just him. So there will be enough people, I think, liking the movie that it's just going to continue to propel Culkin.
And Guy Pearce is, as much as I would like him to win, that character, whew.
Oh, yeah.
He's wicked.
A tough suit.
So, and villains have won in supporting actor, but I think sometimes they have a hard time voting for them.
Soft villains, I would say, maybe do better than he would. Clarence Macklin won at the Gotham Awards. I don't know if that's, you know, a benchmark we can rely on because it's more of an indie favored body. But Kieran winning LA, New York, and NBR. And then Clarence came up in runner-up at LA. So, I mean, maybe it's close. Maybe it can be close. But I think for right now, I'm putting Kieran above him. And then Chris Tsang asked, will Sing Sing be the next Crash jump scare?
Truly. Yeah. So I think what this question is referring to is that Crash won Best Picture without getting a picture nomination at the Golden Globes. So can Sing Sing win without that? First, I'll say Sing Sing is a way better movie than Crash.
let's flesh out this question a little bit more, Chris.
I think that it's a better movie, but I mean, if we're looking at the framework of the question, if it's referring to it, you know, based on that example, I think Sing Sing could still win picture. I don't think it's dead. I think it would be a crazy comeback, but there isn't a clear frontrunner, so anything's possible.
Yeah.
I mean, Crash at the Oscars had 6 nominations. I think a picture nomination is definitely possible. I'm hoping for one. Screenplay, I think also possible. And then it had an editing win and then also nominations in director, supporting actor, and original song. So I think it's close to what could happen, especially with Coleman. I think he's maybe higher up on the list of likely nominations.
Next one comes from, again, Bouncing 1991. Which Sebastian Stan performance has the better chance of entering the Oscar race?
I was kind of hoping for an Adam Pearson nomination from A Different Man in supporting actor, because I thought maybe that would translate after A Different Man won Best Feature at the Gothams. I don't know if either of these get in.
Yeah, I can't believe he's here for The Apprentice. I thought, I was certain that that would be Radioactive. But then Jeremy Strong is nominated as well.
Yeah, the Jeremy Strong inclusion was rough for me because I wanted Josh O'Connor to get in for Challengers. I know he's being run and supporting, so I would have liked to see that there.
Yeah, I guess I will just say that I hope that between the two of them that Sebastian Stan gets more traction with A Different Man. So we don't need to talk about or ever think about seeing The Apprentice at this point.
I do still think, too, A Different Man would be stronger based on its performance, you know, at the Gothams, which, again, are small and decided on by a jury, but winning a shocker best film there kept that around in a bit of a way, I suppose. So I would say A Different Man, but I don't think he's getting a nomination.
Our next question is from Kellen. In your opinion, how likely is Quali to be nominated at the Oscars?
This is fun, but I don't think it's really likely. I don't know. I mean, we have to see how the rest of the season shakes out. I still think Danielle Deadwyler could get in somewhere, maybe with SAG. It's also possible, though, I do think the 5 are probably in this list, but I think it's more likely that we see a double nomination from Emilia Perez with Selena Gomez and Zoe Saldana than Margaret Qualley here. And I feel like Ariana Grande and Isabella Rossellini are stronger, too. And then Felicity Jones. Yeah, I don't necessarily see it happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had a couple of questions about challengers. So two of them are related to category fraud. Duck Soup and Kyle Bailey both asked, is Challengers in comedy musical category fraud, or do you agree it was a comedy? And then I love, is it ethical to be happy for Challengers noms and yet side-eye its genre placements? It's ethical. I'm happy.
It made it.
Music nominations, especially without, I mean, those don't have category fraud, so I'm very happy about those. Score and song.
I'm trying to even remember if I ever laughed in this movie or if I was just like turned on.
I laughed a lot. I did laugh a lot.
I think you're smiling a lot. Funny. Either way.
Yeah.
You're just like in awe of what is happening. That is crazy. All of the placement today, the comedy musical, I was like, is that? And then Connor had one more question about Challengers. Why do you think Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist weren't nominated for Challengers? Hashtag what happened by Hillary Rodham Clinton. What happened, Sophia?
What happened? I think they're too young and beautiful. Genuinely. One, no, in all seriousness, they, by running supporting, were not given the advantage of having split categories. I actually think if Josh specifically was running lead, he would have had a chance at getting in to comedy musical actor. But competing in a pretty tight category with dramatic actors, with people who were in stronger films, that didn't bode well for them. Zendaya has also been the one doing a lot of press for this movie recently and who's been out and who really, I think, has been the face of it. So even though for me, Josh gave the best performance in the movie itself has kind of been all over the place this season. So it was a long shot always, but he, if we're allowing the rules, like if I have to vote for him in supporting and not lead, he'd be my supporting winner of the year pretty easily.
My take that you can kick me off of the pod after this. My take on this is that I don't think Josh O'Connor is good in that movie.
Whoa.
Mike Feist is my vote. I think, well, okay. That was dramatic.
Oh,
I was looking for a reaction.
That was dramatic.
I do not find him attractive in that movie. And I think that his attraction in that movie is a big part of what a lot of people like about it. I do afford you more than just that basic opinion, Sophia.
Okay. Well, I'm not attracted to Mike Feist, so maybe that's why I didn't like his performance as well.
Easy split, one for each. You're introduced to Josh O'Connor's character, and he's dirty, and he looks like he smells, and I just kept that for the rest of the movie, and that was my problem.
But see, like, that unfortunately does work for me. Okay. I hate it about myself.
I
really do.
I like sterility, so like that's
so there you
that's
go.
I have Mike.
We really can one for each of us.
Perfect. Well, okay. We agree. We're good.
There we go. We agree. We're on the same page.
Yeah.
And then I think, you know, we talked about a lot of awards bodies, prizes, nominations today. Just wrapping things up, one final question. And we've skirted around this a little bit, but what do you think is in the best position to win Best Picture at the Oscars right now?
I love how up in the air this is.
I have no idea.
Really do.
No leads, like top threes.
I mean, the film I have in my first position right now is still Conclave, because I do think there's a world where like that wins editing, it wins score, it wins adapted screenplay, and we get a surprise Rossellini win, and there we go. Picture, Conclave. And I don't think a lot of people hate it or rank it low on their ballot, which is important if you're thinking about preferential ballot voting. But there are a lot of interesting options. Anora is an interesting option. I still just, like, sometimes don't see that as a Best Picture winner. When I think about it as a whole, it just doesn't totally click for me as a winner. The Brutalist also makes a lot of sense, but that would require me to have faith in them, which I don't. So I'm going to go with Conclave still. And I'm not touching Emilia Perez. I can't do that. So
I don't think Emilia Perez can win a preferential ballot.
Do we think Emilia is winning international feature?
Probably, yeah. Unless the backlash really comes on strong over the next couple months, because there's a lot of push for the Seat of the Sacred Fig in that category, but opening it up to the full Academy if Emilia Perez does well and continues to do well, then I think that that will take it.
Yeah, I think I will be rooting for Seat of the Sacred Fig until my dying day. And then The Girl with the Needle. And then I'm Still Here before Emilia Perez. But I think with the support, I'm a little bit weary about my choices. And then I think with Best Picture, I would actually probably agree with Conclave. I would love to see Anora. I think maybe it's a little bit too different of a picture winner for that to happen, but I'm still rooting for it. I don't think Wicked's gonna happen. And I don't think like Dune Part 2 is high enough up there for that to happen either. So I think it comes down to like what will sustain support and not necessarily have the most nominations. But I do like that it's up in the air. I'm glad we're all kind of hesitant about answering the question because we don't know yet, and that's okay. But I think it was fun to chat about all of these today and to see how we feel. Hopefully next time, Bennett, you've seen every single movie we've talked about and have like really definite answers come January, February.
Strong opinions. Yeah, and I was going to say, I did want to talk about original song.
Oh yeah, yes, of course.
At least a little bit. Like, Bennett, we have to ask you about original song.
I was going to say, because shortlists are coming out next week, so we probably won't be recording about them. And it's far enough away that we did want to get this out. I did want to leave space for you, Bennett, to talk about some of your favorite songs, what you're hoping gets in, maybe even based on score, what we saw today. But I know that's a big thing for you come shortlist morning.
Yes. So for any new listeners to the pod, I am perennially just the, you know, I listened to all 90 eligible and submitted original songs so you don't have to guy. And I just have always had a fascination with the original song category. It, at this point, it has no reason to be here, but it still is. And I love tracking it year to year. So technically the eligible song list was published, or at least the list of eligible songs for this year was finally reported hours before we started recording today. So I don't have my head wrapped around everything, but
oh my God.
What I will say, particularly about the Golden Globes, is I know people were freaking out today. Do not worry about Diane Warren not getting nominated today. She will be okay. The Globes have nominated her once in the past 10 years.
Oh, wow.
And the Oscars have nominated her 9 times in the past 10 years. And so everyone calm down. It'll be okay.
6888 will still be an Academy Award nominated film.
Yes, we'll all watch it. And I mean this actually seriously. From her song this year in contention called The Journey, I've talked about it on previous podcasts here. I feel pretty confident her best song, and I sound so insane, her best song of the past decade of all of the contenders. And there is no story happening in original song this year. It is a extremely boring category that no one is really rallying around anything. There's no question in my mind that this is the year to give Diane the Oscar. There's no reason not to. And it's, I'm sorry to say it, it's good. It was on my Spotify Wrapped for 2024.
No.
The movie's not out yet.
Wow.
It was in my top, not in my top five, I promise, but it was in it made the playlist.
That's so funny.
I need to know what you think of the music from Emilia Perez. Have you listened to any of the songs?
I have listened to the submitted songs because I have not seen the movie yet. And I like the Selena Gomez song, Mi Camino. I like it better than El Mal.
El Mal is so aggressive.
Without any context to it, and I do not speak Spanish, so I am not catching any of the actual lyrics, but just sonically, El Mal is unpleasant. Mi Camino, I would turn it up on the radio.
Is the song Lady eligible?
Is that from
Emilia Perez?
They did not submit it. No, they only submitted those two.
Okay.
Is that the hospital scene?
Yes. Between Zoe Saldana and the doctor.
Oh my God.
So funny.
Oh, no.
It sounds like an Andrew Lloyd Webber reject. It's amazing.
I think I understand how you feel about them based on solely listening to them, but I think the movie context adds, I would say, enough for me for El Mal that I wouldn't mind that winning in original song. I love the scene. I love the costume. I love Zoe, how the blocking and choreo happens in that song. So once you watch it, maybe your mood will shift, but I am not high on Mi Camino at all. So it's interesting you just listening to them and feeling the opposite way.
Bennett, I have to ask you, this is a really important question while we're on original song. Perfect. What is my pledge for Megalopolis?
What a great question. No. It is eligible.
Where is that song?
I hope Leash, the Sky Ferreira song from Baby Girl, gets in.
Yeah, I need to, we'll figure it out either for me to come back on a future episode and do a deep dive or a little summary, or I'll just post a bunch on social media and people can.
I was going to say, we need a full ranking. And then once the shortlists come out, we can do a final ranking.
You should just come on Contenders when we do music.
Oh, I would love to do that.
I love the Caroline Polachek song Starburned and Unkissed from I Saw the TV Glow. There are some good ones here.
No joke, my other, like, not a chance in hell getting nominated, but my favorite is the original song from Argyle.
Wait, what?
Electric what Energy. Electric Energy sung by Ariana DeBose.
What?
No.
In Argyle. It is, Nick, it's going to go on your workout playlist.
Oh, no.
It is high tempo.
It's been 11 months and I haven't seen that movie.
It's great.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, Bennett, you're going to have to come back to do a deep dive on this list and Diane Warren's eventual nomination, because we know it's coming.
It better. This honestly, this time it is. I'm so Diane pilled, but it's just I listened to the song for the first time and I was like, oh, this is the song that she should win for. So
wow.
Maybe it'll happen.
Don't listen to the lyrics too closely, but just listen to the you know, the melody.
I'm pressing play as soon as we get off of this recording.
It's sung by her, ladies and gentlemen. Her,
yeah.
Oh,
so it's former there's talent. Former winner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it would be good. So yes, check that out.
Exciting.
Well, Bennett, thank you so much for coming back and joining us for this check in on award season and the Golden Globes. It's always great to have you. And yeah, this felt like part of the Wicked press tour reuniting.
Yeah, this is really making do on your promise of what your spotlight award for creative collaboration. Thank you for having me. I'm happy to. I think talking about it today, having been, you know, less involved than usual, is has made me feel really reconnected to everything. So very, very grateful that you had me, and looking forward to catching up. So I can, next time I'm here, I'll just do a run down the list of what I felt about everything.
Amazing. Well, where can everyone find you on socials?
Yeah, you can find me on Letterboxd and Blue Sky at Bennett Prosser. And if you check Blue Sky, maybe you will find a lot of opinions about best original songs now that the eligibility list is out there. That might be the thing that pushes me into actually posting on social media, is this category. So,
oh my God.
So if you want more, check it out.
Blue Sky is so nice. It feels so, like, gentle and positive. Twitter feels so mean around award season.
I feel, as someone who very rarely posted, I feel very, like, safe posting, you know, like, wading into making a habit out of it on Blue Sky. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good. Okay, I promise.
Not that I've done it yet, but switching. But it's the plan.
I'm on my way. But for now, thank you all for listening. Feel free to rate, review, and follow us on Blue Sky Twitter for now, Instagram, and TikTok at OscarWildPod. We have bonus content on our Patreon at patreon.com/OscarWild and updated nomination predictions at OscarWild.squarespace.com.
Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next time.